God has been so good. We have so much to report to you guys, what God has been doing there in the part of New York. And as I look around, truly the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. I feel the love, I feel the unity, and that's what this is all about. That's the way they're going to recognize us, by the love of God. But before I start, I want to introduce our group that have come from Puerto Rico, from Florida, and from Queens, New York. And first I'm going to start with my beautiful bride, my wife, so she could say hi to you guys before I start. Amen. Her sister that came from Puerto Rico. Amen. My beautiful sister that also came from Puerto Rico. The Morris that they came from East New York, Brooklyn. Our spiritual mother, Sister Sepia, who always give us the right advice. And Miss Blay. Amen. So once again, we're very excited. Eligio, I'm sorry. Epi came from Brooklyn. And Epi, all the way in the back with the camera, from Florida. Amen. So once again, we're very happy to be here, and I want you to know that all of them are here in Israel for the first time. And this is a trip that we've been planning for a whole year, and once again, we're very excited to be here. We are excited about what God is going to do with us here, because we came ready to see how the Holy Spirit is going to lead us. We came to enjoy the land as well as to work for God. And we're just excited about that. Amen. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about myself. I come from a background from the streets of New York City, where I was at one time without no hope, lost, looking for answers to life. In my search for God, for truth, I went through all kinds of religion. But one day, I said to myself, you know, I really, really want to know what this is all about. I mean, I was so confused because I see so much religion that I really, really, really didn't know what direction to go. But I remember that I said to myself, you know, God, if you're real, I really want to know. I want to know truth. I want to know if you really, really, really exist. I really need to know. Because the way I was heading, I was not too happy. I was heading the wrong way. And I remember with a sincere prayer, I locked myself in a room, actually. And I said, God, show me your reality. My cousin David, he got saved first. And he told us one time that there was a Jewish man named Mr. Ross that every Sunday he used to feed most of the people in the Bowery in Manhattan after the service. So me and my brother, it was on a Saturday, we were drinking and partying and doing all the wrong things that I'm really ashamed that I don't really want to get into it anyway. They were bad things. So David told us, well, look, there's a church that I know that after the service, they feed, you know, they give you guys a meal and they feed everybody. So me and my brother, you know, we look open the refrigerator and all you saw was empty bottles and, you know, the house was a rack and everything. So we look at each other and say, well, what choice do we have? Let's go. So we said, let's go late. So when we walk through the doors, everything already is finished. So all we have to do is go inside and eat. But God had planned that day with our life and we didn't know it. As soon as we walked through those doors, nothing started until we sat down. It was not a big church. It was maybe like 20 people there. As a matter of fact, it was a visit from South Dakota. There was this girl playing the guitar, and there was this pastor with a smile from here to here. And my brother was looking at me. This guy is after something. Look at him. Look at him. He's too happy. We didn't know. So the girl is playing the guitar, and me and my brother, you know, at that time we were single, so we're wiggling and going like that and goofing and joking and whatnot. But then something happened, unexpected. I started crying, And I didn't even know why I was crying. So when my brother went like that to me, he saw me crying and he got serious. And there I was crying. Now, you have to understand that us coming from the street from New York City, we had this thinking that we were macho mans. So macho mans don't cry. But that day, the Holy Spirit made me cry. And at that time, I didn't even know what was happening. So my brother looked at me, and he got serious. And all I could remember is that when I opened my eyes, everybody was already downstairs on the basement, ready to eat. And then I went like that, and I took the tears away, and I fixed myself up. And I started walking. So the pastors, they were standing there, and something inside told me, why don't you go and tell them why you don't want to serve God? At that time, my excuse was that I didn't want to be a hypocrite. That if I was going to be in the church, I'm going to be in the church. That if I was going to be in the world, I was going to be in the world. So as I approached them, I started talking to them, and that's what I was going to tell them. But I couldn't. I just started crying. And they look at me, and they smile, and they tell me, do you want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ? And within my belly came yes. And I remember that pastor, Mr. Ross, right now he's in heaven, he lay hand on me, and he started praying for me. It was a simple prayer. He didn't break chairs. He didn't shout. Nothing. It was a simple prayer. And he told me to repeat these words. And I remember that I repeat them, because remember what I said before, that I was asking God for truth. I was really looking for truth. I wanted to know the truth. And that's what all of us here has. We have truth. You see? So, there I was, trying to say that I didn't want to be a hypocrite, but I couldn't. So I said yes. So when they prayed for me, I felt liberty. Wherever the Spirit of God is, you feel freedom. You feel liberty. And that's what I felt. A feeling that I did not know. So when they went downstairs with me, my brother was about to bite the hamburger. So Mr. Ross said, hold everything, hold everything, hold everything. My brother said, oh, no, not again. So he put the hamburger down, and Mr. Ross is there hugging me like this. And he said, Brother Henry wants to say something. My brother said, Brother who? And there I was, you know, crying and cleaning my tears and said, I'm very happy that I accepted the Lord. But I felt freedom. I felt peace. I felt something that I was looking for so many years. And it was right before my nose, and I couldn't pinpoint it. That's the God that we serve. So there I was, telling them, I'm so happy that I accepted the Lord. And my brother looked at me, and he said, you just went through an emotion. I'll give you 5 weeks. I'll give you 3 weeks. You'll be back with me drinking and doing the stuff that we all used to do. But you know something happened. David and me, David especially, because David was the one who really God used to mentor all of us. And then David had this gentleman named John Sosa who was mentoring him. Because you see, we were so ignorant when we got saved that we wanted to go to church, and we used to go to the subway and say, well, we're going to church, so we have every right to sneak in to go to church. We didn't know. You have to understand that when God started working with us, there was no pastor, there was no leader. It was the Holy Spirit that started working in our life. We used to live in an apartment. It was a bunch of bachelors, you know, guys living there. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just came and started changing one another, and started with David. And started changing us and changing us. And people in the neighborhood thought we moved out. Because on Friday, they used to call the cops on us. All of a sudden, it was quiet. All of a sudden, you saw in the hallway that we had a JJ, this brother made a sign saying, one way, Jesus Christ. Then he had tracks, all kinds of tracks, and Hebrew and everything, because Mr. Rose was a Jew. And, you know, and Mr. Rose was the one that God was using to mentor us as well. So I remember that there we were. And my brother said, well, I give you a week or two. But you know what? He got tired of waiting. And then he said to himself, you know what? I try everything. Well, let me try God. And that day, he accepted the Lord. And today, he's working in the jails in Florida. Today, he has a beautiful wife. They've been married for more than 35, maybe 32 years. And he's doing great in the Lord. You see? And I'm talking about this movement started in 1974. And today, here we are. Never in my life did I imagine that God was going to bring me to this beautiful land. A desire of my heart that I always had. You see, everybody who loves God wants to come here. We hear in New York about rumors of war. We hear that they're shooting people here. And you know what? You know what they told me when I told them we were coming here? You're crazy. Out of all the places in the world, you're going over there where there's rumors of war. But when you have that desire and that love for God in your heart, man, you don't think about none of that. And you know one thing, that if God is with you, who could be against you? And you know that God is there watching over you. And I have always said, God got my back. Because when I was out there, when I didn't even know it, there he was protecting me. For this day that I could be here and tell you the stories of what God is doing in New York City. And I'm not the only one. There's so many others that God is just transforming them, changing them with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I was excited about coming here and tell you people all about this. And it's so much that I could say. I mean, I have so much inside me that I feel like exploding. That I have to calm myself down and take it easy. Because you know what? We're serving a powerful God, merciful God. I'm a witness of that, my brothers. He took me out of the street. The direction. Okay, I'll put it to you this way. There I was at the age of 16 without no mother, without no fathers in the streets of New York City. Without nobody to give me direction. It's time for you to get up. It's time for you to go to school. No, we were like just wild in the streets. And God was there protecting each one of us. God had a plan in our life that we didn't even know. And because of the grace and the mercy of God, here I am today standing alive, testifying of his goodness. And wherever I go, man, I open my mouth. Because this is one Puerto Rican who loved God. And this is one Puerto Rican who's very thankful. Because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here the way I was heading. He took me out of drugs. I was in Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge, God used that ministry to help me. You see? And there I was, looking for truth. And in my search for truth, I wanted reality. And what more reality than Jesus Christ? Because God is real. And if we have him, we have everything. If we don't have him, we have nothing. You see? So we're blessed people. We are blessed people because we have the creator of this universe, the one who created the galaxy, the planets, the moon, the sun. And here he is loving us and directing our life. That's powerful if you really think about it. I mean, that's something to be excited about. I'm excited. I'm excited about my Lord. You know what? Because he doesn't have to come and show me, tell me, Henry, listen, it is settled with what he's done in my life, the way where he brought me from, that's settled. So I trust him, and I believe in him, and I have learned not to lean to my own understanding, but trust him in all my ways. One of the reasons that people go into drugs is because, you know what? We want to feel good. We want to feel good. I mean, why do people take drugs? They know it's going to kill you. They know it's not doing good to your body, but there you are doing it. You know why? Because it's a lie, and it's just artificial feelings that will make you feel good at the moment that you take it. But then after that, there's consequence. 8 years of methadone, so I know what I'm talking about. I didn't read this in the book. I went through it. And to this day, I cannot explain how God delivered me. And I've been clean for more than 15 years now. And if you, let me tell you, and if you show it to me and you could take it in my face, it won't even tickle me to touch it. Because God, when God changed you, he changed you. He knows us better than what we know ourselves. Isn't it wonderful that you could trust somebody who knows you better than what you know yourself? Who knows what you need for tomorrow when you don't even know it? Who knows every hair in your head? Who wants to bless you? Who protects you? Come on, if you don't hang out with somebody like that, you got to be crazy. Talk about being a friend. That's the Lord. And all you have to do, man, all you have to do is trust him. Things happen in life sometimes that we don't understand. But you know what? We have a powerful God who loves us. And sometimes we don't have to understand. We have to trust him. And he's not a God of confusion. When the time comes, you don't understand, put it in the shell. The time will come where God will bring it down and say, remember when you didn't understand this? And boom, there you go. And you understand. You go, wow. Wow. I didn't understand it, but today I understand. Being born of the Spirit, my brother, let me tell you, when I was a small little baby, I didn't eat rice and beans. I had to, eat milk, and I grew up, and I started learning my surroundings. When I was 12 years old, I asked my father, give me the car key so I could take a ride. He's, what, are you crazy? But when I hit the age of 20, he expected me to already know how to drive that car. So you see, growing spiritually is the same. You know, there are things that you're not going to understand at a certain time, but the time will come where God will reveal it to you. And when God teaches you something, He teaches you. Because when God teaches, let me tell you, you will learn. And He works on your own level, in your own mentality. It does, you know, God is not, you don't, listen. You can't figure God. His thinking, His ways are totally different than ours. That's why He says, trust me. Trust me in all your ways, and I will direct your path. I will guide you. And there is nothing more beautiful than to be guided by a creator who sees everything and who knows you better than what you know yourself, who wants to bless you. And that's the God we serve. And that's the reason why we're here today in Jerusalem. And that's the reason why we're here in Israel. Because, man, let me tell you, we are so thankful for what God is doing in each one. God is so real in our life. You know, that we just want to talk about Him. Wherever we go, wherever they give us the opportunity to open our mouth, man, we're going to talk about Him. Because it's about Him, it's not about us. We're nothing but instruments. Amen? And today I want to speak about what's happening today and the times that we're living. We hear so many rumors. We hear what's going on in Japan. What's going on in Puerto Rico. Right now in Puerto Rico, let me tell you something a little bit about Puerto Rico. In Puerto Rico, at 12 o'clock in the night, you can eat the lights. You know why? Because if you wait for the light, they'll take the car away from you. That's how things are in Puerto Rico. In New York City, let me tell you, everybody is with an attitude. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you get on the subways, you get to work, if you step on somebody, they want to punch you. And you know what? God is a God of warning. Even before this is happening, God already is warning us. And that's what I want to talk about today in the Word of God. About the times. Jesus said, listen, if you could tell when it's going to rain, if you could tell when, you know, when it's going to snow, you should be able to tell the times of my coming. And you know what? It's all in here in the Word of God. Wherever I go, I speak about my three vitamins. David could laugh right now about it, but that's okay. I'm going to say it anyway. My three vitamins. Something that is a must, is a must. If you really want to know God, if you really want to know your Creator and have a personal relationship with Him and not be religious, there's three vitamins that I'm going to share with you right now. Vitamin number one is the Word of God. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And this is the Word of God. Vitamin number two, prayer. If I don't talk to you and you don't talk to me, how are we going to communicate and understand each other? Vitamin number three, the church. Because if I want to move this here, between all of us, it's much easier than by myself. So you see, we need each other. We need each other. God don't want a lone ranger. God needs the body of Christ. This is beautiful. You know why? Because there's people here from every nationality. That's my kind of church. That's my kind of church. People from every part of the world. That's my kind of church. You know why? Because that's the way God loves it. You see? And where I'm right now in Brooklyn, as you can see, we're from every nationality. Because there's something that you know that I don't know, and there's something that I know that you know. And if we get together in the love of God, and with the unity of the Holy Spirit, let me tell you, we're unstoppable. Amen? Before I start, I want to confess something to you guys. We're going to talk to the Lord before I open my mouth because I want to take the flesh out of the way and I want the Holy Spirit to use me as a tool. How many agree with that? Amen? So I'm going to pray. And if you guys agree with me, okay? Just agree with me if you agree with me. Father, I just thank you right now, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for who you are, Lord God, for truly there's no one like you, Lord God. Father, right now, I confess before all my brothers and sisters, God, that I cannot do this without you. And Father God, I do not want to do this unless you back me up, Lord God. Right now, Lord God, I pray for every mind, every heart, Lord God. God, that you will touch the hearts and the mind, God, that when I will speak boldly through your Holy Spirit, God, that there will be understanding, God, of what you're about to say through me, God. Lord, once again, I put myself as an instrument in your hands. I will give you the glory and honor for you to serve that and more, Lord God. And thank you for the honor and privilege of allowing me to open your word and speak about it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. And as I said, God is a God of warning. God always warned her. I mean, in the Old Testament, we said that the prophets, God used to tell the prophets, go tell the people this is about to happen. And God always warned. and things that are happening right now around us, you know, we shouldn't be so surprised, because if we look at the scriptures and we're following God, it's signs of the times that we're living. Okay? And I want to read from Matthew, okay? I'm reading from Matthew chapter 24, and I will read from verse 4. Okay, these are the disciples over here asking Jesus, you know, hey, tell us the sign. I mean, you know, they were saying, they were seeing a building. They say, oh, this looks so beautiful. And Jesus said, listen, you see those buildings? They're coming down. They're coming down. I like my brother. Amen. Okay, and it goes like that. You could follow me. I'm just going to keep going because I just want to make sure I get everything out that I got the Spirit of God is telling me to do. Watch out that no one deceive you. For many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ. Come on. Reverend Sonia Mu, and we mentioned so many others. They came saying that they were the Christ. Huh? How many Christs? In Puerto Rico, there's a nut over there saying that he's Christ too. There he goes. It's in the Word. Many will come and saying, I am the Christ. Now listen to, this is Jesus talking. And they will deceive many. Many people are being deceived. You will hear of wars and rumors, but see that no one be alarmed. It says, such thing must happen, but the end is still to come. It says, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines. There will be earthquakes. We're speaking about earthquake today, right? So you see, it's in the Word, okay? In various places, there are going to be earthquakes. And all these are the beginning of birth pain, okay? And then I'm going to jump to 14, where it says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Then the end will come. Okay? And I'm going to jump. Okay? This is Paul talking to John Timothy. Okay? This is 2 Timothy, and I'm reading for chapter 3. Okay? It says like this. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lover of themselves. Okay? Lover of money, boasting, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, and said, not loving what is good, but loving what is bad. Okay? Teaching errors, you know, lover of pleasure rather than the love of God. That's exactly what's happening around us. That's exactly what's happening around us. You see? In Puerto Rico, my nephew just got killed. Why? Because he had a fist fight with someone, and they came with three different other friends with different kind of guns, and they shot him 16 times, and he was only 21 years old. It's crazy out there. You see? And God is telling us, don't be surprised when you see these things happening. But you know what? When God is with you, you could be sure that God will got your back. You see, God got our back. There is nothing that he missed. This affects those who don't, unfortunately, those who don't have God. But if you have God in your life and you believe that God is with you, trust me, God is with you. But you know what? Want me to be honest? It's not going to value anything if you don't believe it. This walk is by faith. This walk is believing. According to your belief, let it be done unto you. That was Jesus. In New York City, gangs, the same race killing each other for drugs, for territory. Mothers, little babies, they appear in garbage cans. My God, when I was growing up, I never heard of such a thing that I'm hearing now. Signs of the time. And Jesus is telling us, if I could tell when it's going to rain, I should be able to tell his coming. And let me tell you something, my brothers. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. And it's time for us to seek him with all our heart. So that he says, listen, when you seek me with all your heart, you're going to find me. You see? Because the time, listen, the best insurance that you could have is walking with Jesus. That's the best insurance. Because no matter how you throw, no matter what happened to you, you're in the winner's side. When you have Jesus. You see? There I was in New York City without no hope. Walking the streets without no hope. You think if somebody would have told me, listen, let me ask you something. When you're going to die, do you know where you're going? Honestly, I couldn't answer that. Ask me today. Do you know where you're going? Oh, yes, I know where I'm going. Oh, yes, I know where I'm going. Because I know in who I believe. And once again, he doesn't have to prove himself to me because that is settled. Where he brought me from, that's settled. And I have learned to trust him. I have learned to lean and believe in him. If God tells me that this microphone is red, let me tell you, if the Bible says it, it's red for me. I don't care what my eyes tell me. I don't care what my feelings tell me. That was the reason why I got addicted to drugs, after feelings. You see? But God is making a man out of me. Because God is teaching me how to live by faith and not so much for what I feel. Because feelings, if you don't control them, they'll kill you. You see, God made us with feelings, and we creatures of feeling, but those feelings have to fall in the right place. And that is when you have your personal relationship with God. Because you see, let me explain to you something. We were created, all of us in this room, to have fellowship with God. If you don't have that fellowship with God, you're going to try to fill that emptiness. It could be drugs, it could be jobs, it could be money, it could be whatever. But it just don't work. Only Jesus Christ could fill that emptiness. Only Jesus Christ. Once you have Jesus, you're going to know the purpose why you're here and where you're going. You're going to know how it started. You're going to know where you're at now and what's coming in the future. Okay? But I'm telling you, this is not about a Sunday church thing. This is about, God, I want to know you. God, I want your reality. God, I need you. I need to know you as my best friend. And let me tell you something. God will reveal himself to you. And when God reveals himself to you, he will manifest himself into you. And you will fall in love with God. You will taste God and you're going to see that he is good. And let me tell you one thing. You're going to depend on him like the air you breathe. And then you know what's going to happen? You're going to have so much inside, my brother. You either share it with others or you'll blow up. But if you don't have nothing to give, you can't give. Vitamin number one, the word of God. When you put that word in there, my brother, let me tell you one thing. You want to give it out. You're excited to give it out. And then you got to get some more in. You see? Jesus says something real powerful. My Father is always with me. Why? Because I always do the things that please him. You want God to be with you always? Try to do the things that please God. So Jesus, God will be all around you all the time. You see? And that's what I want. You know why? Because I can't do this. I can't do this in my own strength. I got to be a tool. Let God work and change me. Because only God could change you. Like he changed me. That, like I said, let me say it again. If they put the drug in front of me that I used to love so much, it won't even tickle me. Because God changed me. I'm a new creature in Christ. You see? And that's the reality about God. And I encourage you. Listen, if by any chance you don't feel the way I feel, talk to God. You have not because you asked that, according to James. That's what he said. You ask God to give you what you need so that you could please God. So that, you know, you could do what he wants you to do. And let me tell you, you think God's not going to give it to you? He loves us. And he don't want to take nothing away from us. The only thing God want to take away from us are the things that are hurting us. That we don't even know at some time. Like I didn't know. But everything good, God will give you. And you think if you ask God, God, listen, right now, you know, there's a lot of things I don't understand. I'm a little confused. I don't feel you the way I should. Help me. Help me. Let me tell you, one time I was in the church and there was these brothers. I love you. I love you. I love you. I was honest. I said, God, I don't have no love for that guy. I don't know who he is. And I asked him, God, give me love for the people. And today I see people in the street who I don't even know who they are. And I feel love and compassion for them. Only the Spirit of God could do that. From a guy who comes from a cold world like I came. You see? Because my heart was like a rock and God made it into a flesh. Softening. One of the reasons why? Because the way I was brought up. You see? Once again, I don't even like to talk about it because I ain't proud about it. But I boast and I tell you this in the Lord's name because I'm trying to tell you where God took me out. And it was not a pleasant place. But the whole thing about it is that God loves us. And he's coming soon. And that's the reason why in Matthew 24, he tells us, don't be surprised. Look what's happening. I warn you. I'm telling you, get your house in order. Because I'm coming soon.
I got my house in order, and I got to get it even better order. And that's the reason why we're here. Once again, you're crazy. What are you going? Israel, didn't you see the news? Look what's happening in Israel. My brother, let me tell you one thing. This is a holy land. You people are a blessing in my life. You people encourage me. You know why? Because I see what you go through to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Where I come from, I have a church right here. I have another one there. I have one on there. Across the street, one for another. Sometimes the pastors don't even talk to each other. And that's a shame. You see? Because this is not about religion. This is not about church. This is about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, let me tell you one thing. You're free. Jesus said something real powerful. He said, listen to this very carefully. He said, when you keep my teachings, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. But listen to what he said. When you keep my teaching, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. I hear people, you know the truth, the truth will set you free. But they're missing the other verse. When you keep my teaching, then you will know the truth and that truth will set you free. You see? And when you free in God, let me tell you, when you free in God, it's a beautiful, take it from an ex-drug addict. One of the reasons I took drugs is because I wanted to feel good. I wanted to feel, hey, Henry, don't forget it. Henry's the man of the party. But it was all artificial. It was all a lie. The next day I was all dying. And Jesus, let me tell you, I get up in the morning, yo, thank you, Lord, for this day. This is the day you have made. I want to rejoice and be glad in it. And let me tell you one thing. Before I know, there the Lord is blessing me. And before I know, the sun is shining. I mean, listen, this is what the world is looking for. Truth and God, the Creator. Because we were all created to have fellowship with Him. And the entire planet is looking for it. But unfortunately, a lot of things choke the word of God. Could be money, could be pleasure, could be drugs. You see? But once you ask God with a sincere heart, God, I want to know you. I don't want to know church. I don't want to know religion. I'm confused about this one. God, do you think God is not going to hear you and direct you to the right place? God will direct you, man. God is just waiting for you to say, Jesus said, listen, anybody who calls on my name, I'm not going to reject him. You see? And the sooner you are honest with yourself and you realize that you need a relationship with your Creator, let me tell you, you will stop wasting time. Because when you don't have God in your life, you know what you're doing? Wasting time. Do you know how far you could go in God if you submit to God very early age? I wasted a lot of time. Do you know how far you will go when you submit to God and the Holy Spirit start changing you and God start renewing your mind and open your mind so that you could talk to people, so that you could understand the scripture? You know how powerful that is? That God is speaking through you? That God is living inside of you? And then when God speaks, you know, you have the understanding and you know when to shut up and when to talk? I tell you one thing, that's very, very, you know what, my brothers and sisters? It'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. Because sometimes we open the mouth too fast. But when you're sensitive to God's spirit, man, He makes you look good. He makes you look good. And my job, I'm a dental technician in profession. Okay? And I work in a laboratory, and my boss, he's Jewish Russian. He has a lot of respect for me. It's not because I'm a good looking guy, it's because he sees God in me. And you see, though he don't want to accept the law, and though he don't, you know, he don't want to get close to God, but he respects something. You know what he respects? He respects the years that I've been there with him, more than 20 years. He's seen God in my life. Because you see, talk the Bible sometimes is, you know, anybody could talk the Bible, but living it is what talks louder. So he's seen that. So you see, he said, oh, Henry, that's good for Henry. When there's a problem in the laboratory, let me call Henry. You see? Thank you. Let me call Henry. And you see, it's not because of nothing of me. If he would have met me a couple, when I was not going with God, forget it. He would say, no way, man, I trust this guy. I have the key of the laboratory. I go in as I want, as I please. Got my own hours. And listen, I have time to minister in the jails of Rikers Island and Brooklyn, New York. I have time to pastor on do services on Sunday, to give Bible studies on Wednesday. And at the same time, I have a job. Only God could do that. You see, every Friday I go to Rikers Island, which one of the and Queens, it's one of the biggest jail over there in New York City. And God has opened the doors for me to go and talk to the inmates. And when I go there, you know what? Sometimes they come down and they say, what do you want? I say, here, I'm here to give you good news. Because that's exactly what I came to tell them, good news. Because the word of God is nothing but good news. You know what, my brother? You don't have to live like this. You know what, my brother? You know, oh, I got 35 years. You know what, God? I know somebody who makes miracles who could get you out of here. If you put your hands. I got one of them right now that is dying of cancer. He was in there and I met him in there. And today he's in the street. And when I first met him, I told him the same thing. I got good news for you. You know what? He told me, oh man, I got to make time here. I tell you, listen, I know somebody who could help you. The Lord Jesus Christ. The impossible is possible for him. And when you put your hands, when you put yourself in his hands and you start keeping his teaching, then he will tell you, show you truth. And that truth will set you free. There are people right now in jail, my brothers and sisters, that are more free than people who are in the street because of Jesus. Because it doesn't matter where you are. As long as you have Jesus, you have everything. You see? And they're happy to come out and they're happy to hear the word of God. And that's what we have. We don't have religion. We have truth. And when the Holy Spirit takes over us, man, it's beautiful. Because he makes you look good. God makes you look good. There are times that there's a, I mean, I'll put it to you this. Jesus' first miracle, what was it? There was no wine. His mother told him, hey, there's no wine. What did he tell him? What do you want me to do? It's not my time. But what did she say? She told the servant, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Why? Because he knew he could solve problems. He knew that there's not a problem that he couldn't solve. And he helped his mother, didn't he? And he did the wine. Huh? And when he does it, he made his mother look good. Didn't he? He did the wine. You see? And the same thing is with all of us here. Because you know what? God is inside of you. And God is inside of me. And when the time comes God is always on time. When the time comes that you bump into a situation in life that you might not be able how to handle, how to get out of it, God is there. Boop, here I am. And all you have to do sometimes is move out of the way and let God does it. And before you know, you say, wow, God, you're so good. You're so good. Like it happened to most of us. You know, how many times we have gotten into problems and whatnot, and God has come right before when we thought the roof is going to fall in our head. Right there, he's got, whoop. Does it encourage your faith? Huh? Right? It feels good when God comes to the rescue, right? And then, you know, sometimes he blows your mind because you don't even know how he did it, but he does it. That's the kind of God we serve. And he's loved to do that for us. He loved to do that for us. And all we have to do, keep his teaching. Keep his teaching. Then, we're going to know that too. And you know what? When you're free, man, you're free. When you're free, you could talk, I don't care to who it is. When God is there backing you up, my brothers and sisters, you don't have to worry about nothing. Because he even told the disciples, listen, when you go before kings, when you go before governors, don't even worry what you're going to say at that particular time. It will be my spirit speaking through you. I'm a witness of that. I'm a witness of that. I have found myself in situations talking to certain people that are very, very smart. And I'm not that too smart. But God make me look smart. God make me look smart. You know why? Because I know that it's not me, it's him. And I get out of the way. I say, Lord, thank you. My boss comes for advice to me. Why? Because he sees something in me. And it, once again, it's not because I'm good looking. It's because God is inside of me. You see? And when there is a problem, God has given me the grace to solve it. You see? Because he lives inside each one of us. You know what I do at night sometimes? I just hug the Holy Spirit. I say, oh man, I love you so much. And I hug myself because he's inside of me. And I thank him. I thank him that he's always with me. And my thinking, I say, he's with me. You know what my boss tell me? He tell me, go ahead, Henry, do that. The boss is not looking. You know what I tell him? That's what you think. My boss is always looking. He said, the boss is not looking. I said, that's what you think. My boss is always looking at me. And I'm always trying to do what pleases him because I want him around me. I don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. That's the one who's helping me. That's my friend. That's the one that when things happen that I cannot, you know, that he's always on time. How am I going to mess up with somebody like that? Let's put it in a carnal way. If you have a friend who's good to you, who give you good advice, who's always paying for you, let's put it that way, and always doing the right thing before you, but you're hanging out with him. And you know that he don't like certain things for you to do. Would you do them? I wouldn't, because I value his friendship. So I'll say, no, let me not touch that, because you know what? That's going to bother my friend, and I don't want to, you know, probably because he's good to me. That's the same way with the Holy Spirit. Stay away from things that quench him. Stay away from things that you know that he don't want you to do. I don't have to tell you. Nobody has to. You're going to know yourself. He'll tell you. And try to please God so he could always be with you. My brothers and sisters, let me tell you one thing. I could fail you. Your brother next to you could fail you, but God will never fail you. God will never fail you. When you put your trust in God, let me tell you one thing. God will never put you to shame. God is so good. And that's what we're proclaiming from Brooklyn, New York. That he's good, that he's alive, that he's real. And you people encourage us. Because you know what? Once again, it's not easy for you guys serving God here. I know that. Because I know a lot of you people are being persecuted in your jobs. A lot of you people are being persecuted in your houses. A lot of you people are persecuting everywhere you look. In America, we have it good. We could speak about Jesus anywhere. You go to the subway, you see people proclaiming Jesus. In the subways. And nobody bothers them. You see them in the street proclaiming Jesus. And nobody bothers them. Churches, maybe five of them are in the same block. Unfortunately, sometimes they don't even talk to each other. You see? But still, they proclaim Jesus. I know you guys don't have that privilege here to do so. I know here it's not like that. And that's why I admire all of you people. And you guys encourage me. You see? Because I know that you guys are real, the real thing. Because for me, to be able to lose in my job where I make my money to be able to survive, or, you know, places with people, everybody's against you because of Jesus, and here you are today sitting under here. That encouraged me. And that's why when I go back to New York, I'm going to open my big mouth like I open, and I'm going to tell everybody about you. You got to see these people. You got to see what they go to. You got to see the way they come no matter what. They're killing people here. You hear rumors of that, but there they are serving God. Why? Because they know in who they believe. They know that God is there for them. And God will never let us down. And regardless of what happened, it doesn't matter. You're still a winner. Being absent from the body is being present before God. So you see? But I don't think God got work for you guys to do here in this planet. So, you know, don't even count with going with the Lord so fast. You beautiful people have work to do here. And God is going to use all of you. You see? And once again, time is shorter than what we think. Look around us. Matthew 24. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The love of many is getting cold. And sometimes we're being persecuted by our own people that are closer to us. Because of the Lord. You see? But I'm going to tell you right now. You will not lose your reward when you put God first. You will not lose. You will not regret it. You will not regret it. I know one thing. I will put my Lord before anything. My job, anything. Because I'm smart. I know I know if I put him first, I'm going to be all right. You see? I know it. What's the purpose of serving a God who created the planet, the sun and everything, who doesn't sleep, who could make way out of nowhere? What's the purpose of serving him if you're not going to believe him? Come on, think about it. Listen. I'm going to put my trust in him. I'm going to do what I could do. And I know that what I cannot do, he's going to do it for me. Because he promised. And I'm going to stick to that promise. You see? Listen, I know that he will never let me down. And that's what I said before. I could let you down, but he will never let you down. And that's what we're proclaiming. And that's what we're telling the people. And the thing about it, my brothers and sisters, his time is shorter than what we think. Jesus is coming soon. You people here in Israel, I know you're all into prophecy and you guys know the Old Testament better than what I do. And I know that you guys must be much excited because you know what? It started here and it's going to finish here. Amen? God is good. So there I was in Brooklyn, New York, walking through the streets, looking for answers, answers to life. And today I have the answer. You don't have to go to Las Vegas to the answer to life machines. All you have to do, maybe your last quarter, put it in the last machine where it'll tell you your problem is that you need fellowship with your Creator. That's the problem. If you don't have your Creator, you're missing the purpose while you're on this planet. You see? And Jesus loves you, and Jesus wants to reveal Himself to you, and Jesus wants to show you that He's more alive than all of us in here. And all you have to do is ask Him. You have not because you ask not. That's it, my brother. I encourage you. I didn't came here to entertain. I came here to tell you the truth. And the truth of the matter is that Jesus is alive and well. And there's only one way to God, Jesus Christ. There's rumors around that God, you could find God in a different religion. Every religion will direct you to God. That's a lie from the devil. One way, Jesus Christ. That's the truth. You see? Because today we're living in a confused... I mean, everybody, oh yeah, you know, you could find God through that religion. You know, that's okay. No, my brother. Only one person died for our sins. And that was Jesus. And that's the bridge to our Creator. You see? And I know everybody here has them. And I thank God once again for allowing me to speak to you guys. And I'm going to leave it here right now. But before I leave it here, look. If there's anyone in this room right now who don't know Jesus, who would like to experience what I'm talking about, you could raise your hand right there. I would be more than glad to pray for you and direct you and speak to you after the service. If you want to do it, it's okay. But I really don't want you to leave this place without knowing Jesus. Because you're missing a lot. You see? And that's the main reasons why we're here. We want the world to know Him. Because you know what? That's what they're looking for. Your Creator. Who made you, who understands you, who loves you, who wants to give you nothing but the best. And he, most of all, he said, I didn't come here to condemn you. I came here to give you life and abundantly. And that's what he wants to do, give you life. I want to see you in heaven. And I want you to remember, you the goofy guy who was talking that day in the church over there? And I would say, yeah, that's me, all right. I want to see you in heaven. Amen? Father, I just want to thank you, God, for this time, God. Thank you for allowing me to speak here, God. Thank you for this beautiful people, Lord God. Father, I ask you that you bless this church, Lord God. I ask you, Father, that you will continue revealing yourself to them. Keep them in your truth, Lord God. Keep them in your hands, Lord God. Protect them, Lord God. Bless them in a mighty way. Give them the desires of their hearts, Lord God, that they might continue, Lord God, walking with you, praising you, Lord God, and doing the work that you designed for each one of them, Lord God. Father, I pray, God, that you bless them, God. And use them for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
Just want you to know that Sula Brogdon, right down here in the front row, was with David Wilkerson at the very, very beginning. And she walked the streets. And this is part of the fruit that she and many of the others have sown for the gospel, and to see people from all walks of life who are bound by drugs and by sin freed in the powerful name of Jesus. And so it's a blessing. Thank you, David, for bringing your cousin, David's family. And we've got to know a little bit more of our Puerto Rican family here today from New York. And it's been wonderful to see your enthusiasm. And I know the Lord's going to use you and direct you to the hearts that are open to receive the implanted word of His gospel, glorious gospel. Let's all stand and sing the song in closing. Can I see the hand of anyone who feels that this message is... touch their heart. They've been grown cold. They've been indifferent. The first love of the Lord has somehow slipped away. Father, you see the hands that have been raised. And this is what you've served us up, a meal of zeal and excitement in the Lord, and from a servant who hasn't lost his first love. And Lord, we need that first love once again. We need to rejoice with those who have been delivered and set free from sin and from walks of destruction and that lead to death. Father, we bless you that we have so much of your presence and your Holy Spirit in us, and out of fear, not of laziness sometimes, Lord, we fail to share that treasure with those that you bring across our path. Lord, take that fear away from us. Take that indifference away. There's a world that needs you, and you've empowered us, and you've equipped us to speak that word of life and truth in a dark world. Thank you, Lord, for the hands that were raised. We pray that your Holy Spirit will touch them, set them free, set them on the path of seeking you and knowing you in these last days. We bless you and praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Go with us now into the world, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Greet someone, bless someone. In Jesus' name. You have been a